Buying Cool Tech, February 16, 2006. Hey, y'all. How you doing? Oh, you got to excuse the wind. It is really bad out here today. I'm sure that's not going to help the recording any. I'm Larry Skudkon, your host for this edition of Buying Cool Tech. And I invite you to join me on the walk home down Frankfort Avenue in beautiful Louisville, Kentucky, on a gorgeous February afternoon, a little windy, but this is a very rare occasion in February in Louisville when you don't even have to wear a jacket. We'd like to talk about a few things today. Linux, weight loss, and some a funny coincidence that happened in the podcast a week or so ago. And I'd also, good boy, we just took a left. Nice signal, Jake. I'd also like to talk to you about guide dogs, if we can squeeze all this into our about 40 minutes of walk time here. It's a 2-mile walk. We usually go at a pretty good pace, so get your running shoes on and see if you can't keep up with us. The talking's slow, but the company's good. Had a talking about the slow talking and the slow rate of information. I would like to invite any of you who, I've talked to several people that kind of say these walks drive them crazy because it takes us so long to get to any information, and I agree. It's not bam, 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 one piece of useful information after the other. This is the kind of podcast where you may have to just relax a little bit and try to enjoy the ambience. We are trying to make the recordings high enough quality so that you can feel like you're right on the walk with us. We're using the M-Audio MicroTrack digital recorder and the Innovative Specialist microphones I mentioned to you yesterday. I hope this wind isn't going to ruin the recording too badly, but you really do need to try to relax a little. It's not going to be 30 minutes or 40 minutes of information in the next 30 or 40 minutes. But you may just find yourself enjoying it and having something to contribute as well. Good boy. We had a request on the list to talk more about guide dog accessories. Okay. Good boy. And guide dogs. So I'll do that. Specifically, I believe it was Beth that asked about things like, folding water bowls and pouches that you can put on your dog's harness and so forth. I think that's going to depend on the individual person and the dog. I've had dogs, for instance, that, believe it or not, wouldn't go for the portable water bowls. And I've had others that, probably shouldn't say this, but I've had other dogs that just absolutely prefer to just drink out of the toilet. Now, what I have found, though, that's a good compromise, if you have space especially, on a situation where you're traveling, is to actually bring the dog's bowl that he uses at home. And that does two things. It, you know, of course, gives you a receptacle to hold, or a container to hold the food and water. But probably just as importantly, it gives the dog something familiar that's his own in a totally strange environment. I also suggest that if you're traveling with a guide dog, to bring a toy or a bone or something to play with in the evenings to help relieve the stress on the dog a little bit. I know in the case of this dog, and I don't suggest this for anyone else because it's the only dog I ever heard of that does this. Good boy. Is I'll bring a wash rag just for him to suck on. He likes to carry it around, put it between his paws, suck on it, play tug of war with it, play fetch with it. And it's a pretty small toy that can fit right in the suitcase without any additional hassles. I've seen the little pouches you can put on the dog's harness, and that probably is more appropriate for women. It'd be good. People will often keep like doggy bags in there to pick up with. Now, whoa, what was that? I think the wind blew something over there. In my particular case, I find it much more effective to just, believe it or not, use regular sandwich bags. Now, this is a sandwich you don't want to give anybody, though. It's, and you might think, well, that's kind of small. But the other key is, if you are going to pick up, as you inevitably will, I had to this morning, in fact. It's the first time Jake's stopped and took a crap in I don't know how long, you know, while he was working. But he was out of his schedule, out of sync, and that kind of thing can happen. So you have to always be prepared for that. But if you'll feed your dog a kind of a dog food that produces small, compact poop, those bags are plenty big enough. I mean, Jake is right at 100 pounds, and I don't think there's a lot of dogs that are much bigger than that. But a sandwich bag is perfectly adequate to pick that up, given the right kind of food. And instead of putting it in a satchel on his harness or whatever, I keep a few of them in my wallet. And I try to keep one just in my back pocket. So, as I use the one in my back pocket, if I'm not at home to replenish that, I'll just grab one out of the wallet. And if I am at home, I'll put another bag in my pocket the next morning. It doesn't take up any room. You know, you fold up a unused sandwich bag, you know, just the kind that flap over. That doesn't take up any room in your pocket at all. Let's see, what other kind of accessories for a dog? Hey there. I know excuse me I thought I heard a train. I didn't want to be stepping out on these anywhere near these tracks if there's any possibility of a train down there. There we go. Good part. Crossing the tracks now. And we're going to stop here and let Jake have some bathroom relief. Good boy, little buddy. Dogs are all different. And they all need different things. And people are all different and want to do things different ways. I've found, though, that after many, many years of dog use, there's some things you can do to make things easier, and some things if you're considering a dog to keep in mind. And the utmost of those is, you know, I've heard people on the list talking about, oh, I see how you walk with Jake, I'm thinking about getting a dog. Well, think hard before you do that, because if you're not going to use the dog, not only is it a tremendous waste of resources and a waste of talent for that dog, but you're going to make that dog miserable. These guide dogs have, for the most part, been bred with characteristics that make them the kind of animal that does good work. And one of those characteristics is a pretty high energy level and a willingness and a desire to please his handler. And if you're not going to use the dog, that dog's not going to, he's not going to get to shine. He's not going to get to show you what he can do. And believe me, I know from having retired a guide dog in the last couple of years, good boy, that they want to work. My retired guide dog, Freddy, is still, every time I get near his leash, he just goes nuts. It took months for him to not respond when I picked up Jake's harness to go to work in the morning. These dogs really do want to work. And if you don't work them, you're going to be causing misery on the dog and yourself, because they'll start getting bored, getting into things. In fact, with this dog, I literally cannot stand him, if even after a long weekend, if I don't take him out and work him. And, you know, they say, they being the seeing eye, and I don't speak for them. That happens to be where I got my guide dogs, all five of them. They tell you to try to use your dog at least a mile a day. And I find that to be pretty true. If you can do more than that, that's even better. Wow, I wish I could convey the olfactory senses of that restaurant there. It smells really good. Hey, here's an opportunity to catch a train. I'm gonna face it. He's going pretty slow, so it might not be that loud. And he won't blow his horn. Closer, I guess. But no, if you don't use a dog, You know, why go through all the hassle? And you know, if you say, well, I'd never go anywhere, but I'll walk the dog, that's not going to happen. I mean, face it right now. If you have to make yourself do something for the sake of doing it, it'll last a while. It'll last a month, 6 months, or a year. It's not going to last. So, you know, there's some strategies. If right now you don't have occasion to get out and walk a little bit, if you take the bus to work, you know, you can have the bus drop you off a mile before you get to work, or, you know, 5 blocks, whatever. Same way on the way home. You don't have to have the bus drop you off around the corner. You know, get off 2-4 stops ahead of time. Let's see, what else about dogs and training? I think I've mentioned praise is the number one thing. These dogs are doing this work because they want your approval. And the best way for you to give that approval is not with a biscuit, even though the dog would argue with you about that. It's praise. It's that, good boy, little buddy. Yeah. And you can actually see them kind of step up a little bit, get a little prouder when you say that to one. So, on the one hand, don't even consider getting a dog if you don't think you're going to use it. But if you do have occasion to get out and you're willing to put up with the extra requirements that a dog imposes on you, I can't recommend it highly enough. The sense of freedom to be able to go places without the worry of making sure that there are no obstructions with every step of the cane. You know, that's fine. That becomes second nature, but it's a lot of work and you have to really pay attention. Or I do. With a dog, it's work also. You have to know where you are. You have to know where you're going. That dog, you can't say, let's go to the post office, and he'll take you there. You can train him to recognize the word post office and or work or home. But for the most part, you have to direct the dog where to go. You have to tell him straight, right, left. So, you know, you have to have pretty good mobility skills. But once you get using one, it's actually easier, because the dog will generally keep you going straight. So let me pause the narration here while I make sure this street's clear. Okay, forward. Good boy. Good boy. All right. Good doggy. It is really windy out here. That's about the halfway mark of our walk. We've already been a mile. So you're not too out of breath yet, are you? And we are going at a pretty good pace. I understand we're supposed to go to have steak dinner somewhere with Liz's son and his girlfriend. So we're looking forward to that. One of the other things I wanted to talk about, I don't think we're going to get to Linux today. I can see that. That's actually going to deserve a cast or two. two on itself, or more than two. One of the things I did want to talk about today, though, we've got a limited amount of time here, is the, again, on the list came up some ideas about, a discussion of what kinds of weight loss programs are people finding success with. I know this is a wider interest than just the blind community, but it has interest for us as well. You know, I think in general it would be safe to say that people who are blind are somewhat less active than our sighted counterparts. We don't have the opportunity to like with anything in life, trying to do it in alternative ways, it's sometimes a little harder for a blind person to get started jogging, playing golf, whatever sighted people do to get their exercise. The key, though, is exercise and obviously diet. And I've heard statistics saying that 70% of weight loss issues are related to diet. I don't know. I'm certainly no expert. I think we'll probably have some opinions from the list. But what I'd really like to do is follow some of your programs and some of your ideas about what's been successful and what hasn't worked. I know I tried the Atkins diet back in 2001, and that in combination with sit-ups, push-ups, what is that called? Tai Chi exercises and walking, I lost probably about 30 pounds over a 3-month period and was able to keep it off. I've put about 10 of it back on now, but I'm interested in getting back into a more healthy lifestyle. There are organized sports that will certainly help keep the exercise burden to a minimum. And some of you may not be the type that's interested in organized exercise or a membership with a health spa. You may just prefer to do it on your own. I know that's the way I am. You know, I walk right past a fitness center every day. I've had the urge to go in there a couple times. I don't think I would use a membership to something like that, though, just because I prefer the solitude of that kind of thing in my own environment. I like to do it when I want to do it, not have to make a special trip somewhere, or in the case of this situation, I don't want to do it on the way to work or on the way home. And I probably don't want to make a special trip out here to do it. It's easier for me to have a weight bench set up out in the garage, and in the mornings when I get up, go down there and hit 20 or 40 of them. So, I know we've got some nutritionists on the list and some followers of holistic medicine and all kinds of variations. So, it'd be really good to hear from you all on some of those topics. Yeah, we're passing the coffee place. I smell it too. I really want to follow up more with this, the sense of smell. As a few more. Hop up. Good boy. Good boy. That's it, little buddy. Good dog. As a topic of a few more casts. See, I also want to encourage casts like the one Dan did about the human aura. There's that fitness center right there. It always smells like Pine Sol when you walk by it. You know, that turned out to be a pretty controversial podcast, but hey, it's actually, you know, nobody's, Dan or nobody is making you believe in auras or saying that you have to acknowledge the fact that there are or aren't auras around living things. I don't know how many of you have read James Redfield's book, The Celestine Prophecy. There was a great discussion in there about auras, and it wasn't just human auras. It was any kind of life. So one of the things, in fact, in South America where this story for the most part takes place, is in this garden. You know, the people tending the garden are talking to their plants, and they can look at the aura, and they actually maintain that the better the aura, bus get past here. The better the aura, the more nutritious the vegetable is. So it's just I can't say whether I believe in them or not, but I do want to say, at the same time, let's be open to new ideas. Nobody's asking you to accept it or believe it, but I, for one, enjoy hearing about things that I may not know about, things I may want to explore a little more. I'm not saying I'm going to, but hey, you know, a new idea was presented, and you can either accept it or not, as the case may be. But I'd like to see actually even some more information on auras and other phenomena that may not be provable by scientific means or otherwise. So you know, just because there was a little bit of adverse reaction to that topic, let's not limit ourselves. Let's not shut the door on that or any topic. Okay. One other thing I wanted to kind of laugh with you about is the fact that, wow, what a small world. About a week ago, Don Ball, we're going back out into the street for this detour. They actually got their machinery out here today. Don Ball sent in a recording that he made in New Orleans back in May of 05. And one of the things in this recording was a trip to the Riverwalk Mall. And in the Riverwalk Mall was an establishment called the Fudgery. And in the Fudgery was a young gentleman who was singing. And I really did a double take when I first heard that, because my sister, if you'll remember, we did a cast when I went to a meeting in Dallas, about the middle of September sometime, where my sister lives in Dallas. So her and I and Julia, who was I worked with at APH, decided to go out that evening and do a little tourism-y thing. Went to downtown Dallas, and they've got a place there, I think it's called the Market or the Marketplace, West End Market or something like that. I think it used to be a cracker factory, they said, or something. They turned it into a kind of a mall. Well, there's a Fudgery in there as well. And you need to go back and listen to both these casts and tell me if this isn't the same guy. I'm convinced it is, for a couple of reasons. One, he sounds the same, and also if you listen in the Dallas cast, he talks about just having left New Orleans after Katrina. So, I mean, what's the chances of this being two different people? I even took a picture of him and have that on the Dallas cast. But what a remarkable guy! What a singer! I mean, he really had us laughing. Just the creativity and the talent. So check those two out. Don's was last week sometime, and then this one in Dallas was, around the middle of September. Good boy. That's it. Good doggy. Alright, we turn the corner. Should be a little less wind now. So, one other thing also I wanted to mention about the Blind Cool Tech email list and Neil Ewers becoming the new moderator that I forgot to mention yesterday is this whole thing was actually Neil's idea. So what more appropriate person for being able to take on those duties. And I do remember when Neil first approached me about this, my first thought was, oh my gosh, I don't have time to participate in another email list, much less administer one. Well, the administration, for any of you who are on the list, you'll know that I'm pretty hands off, and that was only possible because really the caliber of people that were on that list or still are. I don't know what it is about us humans, but we tend to have some interesting defense mechanisms when someone riles up or ruffles up our feathers instead of really addressing the issue and using your knowledge of a subject to try to present your point of view. We often tend to attack the messenger. Now, this I don't get. I'm walking west now into the wind, and I was just walking all the way down Frankfort Avenue east into the wind. What's up with that? So anyway, the list moderatorship is really in good hands, and I know Neil has already done some things to trying to get some guidelines together and having everybody agree upon them to make it more efficient. And some of those are guidelines that are useful for any list. One that Neil hadn't mentioned that I might, and you know, if you don't know how to do this, don't worry about it, but it really is better on an email list if you set your... Whoa. Now we're really walking into the wind. If you'll set your mail client to use text as opposed to HTML messages, and there's lots of reasons for that, and I won't really go into right here. Hey, hey! What's up, my man? Man, what a day, huh? Hey, Mars. Did you?
Yeah.
Oh. Neat. How was school, Mars? Hey, Lizzie Mae. What's new with you? Excuse me. Don't want to be in front of that TV. Come on, little buddy. All right. Well, that's probably a good idea. Are you making something sweet in here?
Yeah.
Mmm. Come on, Fredster. Good boy. All right. I will talk to you good folks tomorrow, y'all, or sometime soon.